We've brought in the likes of, Sarah Clough and Maddie Proud and Sam Wallace and Helen Housby in that year. And whilst it was tough to make that decision, either to stay or leave, but looking back now, it was one of the best decisions to be able to create something new with a new bunch of girls. And now we've been together for, 6 or so years.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and pets that are out there listening, and welcome to this week's episode of Nothing But Net Ball with myself, Caitlin Bassett, and the one and only Courtney Tyree. Now, let's cover off on some SSN news to start off with. Round 10, it was huge. There was lots of big margins happening. So to start off with, the smallest margin, Giants defeated the Lightning by 6 goals. It was pretty interesting because there was no Jo Harden. It's the second time in a week they've had her and the second win that they've had. So very interesting. Amy Parmenta, she was huge. 3 intercepts and 8 deflections from her. And they're currently moved up and they're on 5th on the ladder. So that was a good win to kind of notch them up a little bit. Next up, we had the Vixens. They defeated the Thunderbirds by 21 goals. So a little bit of a surprise there. I thought it was going to be a closer match, but just before the game, it was announced no Tipper Dwan, no Hannah Petty. They were still out from injuries the previous week. There was lots of injuries that happened the week before. So a bit of a hangover there. M. Mannix, though, absolutely incredible. 8 intercepts, 6 deflections, and 3 rebounds. And I think, Shamira Sterling completely quiet. She was really nullified by the speed of the Vixens in their attacking end. So for any other teams looking to beat the Thunderbirds in the next couple of weeks, I reckon they'll look to that as a blueprint. Next up, a bigger margin again, 29 goals. Swifts defeated the Magpies. A four-quarter performance for them, and they were rocking out their beautiful yellow dresses for Heritage Rounds, so that was exciting to see. MVP for that game is our guest, who we're going to chat to a little bit later, one Miss Paige Hadley, 150-game milestone for her. I guess, though, like Collingwood's performance, probably indicative of a pretty disruptive week. There's lots of rumours swirling. Collingwood has come out and said, we don't know if we can afford to have a netball program next year and we're going to review everything. Netball Australia have kind of said, well, it's not our problem. You guys deal with it and come back to us. So very interesting. I feel sorry for the players who absolutely have no clue what's going on and even if they're going to have a club to play at next year. And then last but not least, I didn't think I would say this, but a 34-goal winning margin. So a new record set, biggest winning margin for this year's SSN, Fever defeating the Firebirds. Courtney Bruce took 6 intercepts. They scored the most goals for an SSN game. It was just absolutely huge. But I want to make mention of Sasha Glasgow. So 15 from 15 1-point shots, 14 from 20 super shots. She had 17 goal assists, 17 center pass receives, 25 feeds, and big donuts for the turnovers. So no turnovers with all of that, which is incredible. And I think her way of being like, well, I didn't get selected by England. I didn't get selected by Australia, but look how well I can play. Whew. So heaps happening over here. What about you on the other side of the dish?
Oh my God, those are outrageous stats. Good on her. Just before we get into the ANZ Premiership, I mean, tough situation for Collingwood, and what a tough situation for all the players to be in that uncertainty. Like when your contract comes up, there's that uncertainty, but I mean, I've never been in a situation where it's like the club may not be here anymore. And, you look at it and some players will be okay if the worst does happen, but then you've got other players and it's just like, what's going to happen and what's going to happen to the competition? So crazy, Seabass.
Yeah. And it actually affects the whole league because Netball Australia said this is a competition that's going to have 8 teams. So there has to be 8 teams. If Collingwood folds, too bad. Like there's got to be another team come in. And the other teams actually can't contract their players until we know who the 8 teams are. So it actually, in a World Cup year, it just adds so much extra stress for players who don't actually know what's going on and they're trying to prep for, a World Cup, which must be really tough.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, hopefully it all gets sorted out very soon. All right, time for the ANZ Premiership. It was the final round. I can't believe it's pretty much over except for finals, and it all started on Saturday with the Tactics and the Pulse down in Wellington. Sold out crowd, they're very vocal down in Wellington, but the Tactics had to win to keep their finals hopes alive. Now, we got told prior to the game that Jayden Watson was on restricted court time and she wasn't going to be starting. The last time that happened, the Tactics lost by 9 to the Pulse, and then they lost by something crazy like 24 to the Mystics. So wow. It just shows how much value Jane adds to the team. So we all didn't really give the Tactics much hope, but I tell you what, they did so good. It's like they did their homework. All seven players out on court, I will say, beat their opposition opponent. Like every single one of them out on court, a great 60 minutes. And in commentary, we barely mentioned Maddie Gordon, Whitney Soonis, Farmu Ioane. We didn't mention many of these players, which just shows the work that the Tactics were doing. Even crazier, Seabass, in the fourth quarter, Paris Lokotui, playing wing defense for the Tactics, gets sent off for 2 minutes. And the Tactics are up. So we're like, this is it. This is a game-changing moment. What's going to happen? The Tactics, they scored even more points. They outplayed the Pulse with only six players on the court. Karten Berger, it was like she was possessed. She was playing like two positions and she was getting turnover ball. Jane Watson, she had only just come on the court. So she was jumping out of her skin. And I tell you what, it was just outstanding from them and they kept their finals chances alive. So that was a great way to start the weekend. Then we had the Mystics and the Stars. Now, mathematically speaking, the Stars were still in third position and they had to win, or if they were going to lose, they had to stay within a bonus point to keep their finals hopes alive. And it was the Mystics, they started really strong in the Stars. They grew into the game, which they can't afford to do in the finals. Grayson Wecky, she shot 52 from 56. So she was 93%. A standout for me though for the Stars was Amorangi Malasala, 25 from 29. At 86%, but she's putting up 25 goals as a goal attack. Compared to the Pulse, Tiana Maturo, she played on the weekend. I think she only put up 5 from 5. So even though wow. she's putting up 100%, you've got a goal attack who should be coming up against this weekend, who is putting up close to 30 goals a game. So great work by the Mystics to win that one. 63 to 58 to the Stars. They hung on to that bonus point. Then we went to Invercargill for a game of pride. Between the Steel playing for their first win and the Magic, who had both Bailey Mears and Claire Kirsten retiring. Claire Kirsten, though, is still available for the Ferns. Bailey Mears is not. She has said that she is absolutely done. So, I mean, the Magic won first quarter, the Steel. So it was ebbing and flowing, but the quarter three, the championship quarter, is where the Magic really edged out the Steel. Ekenasio, she shot 30 from 32 at 92%. And then Bailey Mez, she put up 23 from 27. So a great way, I think, for her to go out and finish her career. So it came down to one goal. Magic 53, Steel 52. So
I saw that result and then I saw the singing afterwards because I didn't know Claire Kirsten had announced her retirement as well.
So when they showed only to the team.
Oh, wow. And then so when they showed both of Bailey and her standing and then like the whole team singing, I just got goosebumps. That was a crazy moment.
Crazy moment. Very special moment. And then also a crazy stat that we just received today is everyone was like, have everyone just have a moment for Sammy Winders, who was at Magic and now Steel. And I think it's something crazy, like she's only won 7 of her last 60 games, something like that.
What?
I didn't read it properly. It's in my WhatsApp in our big netball group message, but there's a crazy stat like that. So here's to hoping that Sammy can get some wins in the future. And then
partially responsible for that stat because I played with her in the last 60 games.
She always had to do the captain's losing speech, the poor thing. Oh, but she says now, she's like, well, at least I know how to lose now, I guess. But that's a good way to look at it. Then the final match, it came down to the Mystics and the Tactics. So the Tactics, if they won by a certain amount of goals, they would have jumped ahead of the Stars on the ladder and they would have went through to finals. So they had to do everything and they did it. It was their second match of the weekend. They put it all out there. Topaya Selby-Rickett, she shot 29 from 33 in comparison to Phil Davoui, only shooting 5 from 9 at 56%. So you've got goal attacks in opposing teams who are playing very, very different roles. But I think if you're Fielder, you're looking at Grace Wecker, who shot 59 goals. But she attempted 69, so she missed 10 goals.
What?
I know, crazy, but she gets the rebound, so... You know,
this is true. She's practicing a rebound stat.
Exactly. You know? So not much to worry about there. So this game went down to the wire. It went to extra time. the tactics were throwing all they could at the Mystics, but the Mystics won that one by 3 in the end, 64-61. But just close games across the board and a great way to finish off the regular season of the ANZ Premiership and coming down to the very final game to figure out what happens. So that means the Mystics will go straight through to the grand final, which will be held down in Hamilton. And then this weekend, it will be the Pulse and the Stars.
And who do you think is going to meet Mystics in the grand final?
Oh, this is a tough one because I look at it. Last year, the grand final was a Pulse and the Stars. And that was a crazy game where the Pulse beat the Stars by 14. So I think the Pulse can do it. I just don't know if the Stars are holding on to that grand final and looking for that revenge, which would make for a very good game.
Whose home game is it?
The Pulse's.
Oh, the Pulse. Okay, interesting. Very good. Well, I'd like to now introduce our guest for Breaking the Zone this week. She's a World Cup champion. She is a Commonwealth Games champion. She is co-captain of the Sydney Swifts, and she joins us today. It's Miss Paige Hadley. The one, the only, the amazing Paige Hadley, who's hit her 150 games milestone on the weekend. Firstly, congratulations. And take us back to your debut. Do you remember much about it? Who was it against? Who did you match up against? Did you win? All the fun stuff.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. I do remember my debut. I was in Adelaide playing against Adelaide Thunderbirds. I think it was 2012. And we were getting beat by, I reckon, about 30 goals. And so Lisa B. Hag at the time let me go on, and I actually came up against Shani Layton, which was very, very daunting. I don't remember anything about the game.
It was loud. It was just loud.
I just remember I probably didn't touch the ball. I didn't do anything, but I got on and I debuted in actually it was like a grey dress at the time, like our away dress. So I was saying it's crazy. All my milestone games have been in like a different coloured dress for the Swifts, which has been pretty cool.
Now, Paige,
position were you playing? If you came up against Shani later, what position were you playing?
Well, I was playing wing attack, but she was playing wing defense at the time because they had like the likes of, you know, like Jeever and all of that there. So, yeah, she was on the wing defense and, yeah, she was very vocal.
Now, Paige, many people don't know this, but I actually have known you since you were like 5 years old. We grew up in the same town in St. Clair, played for the same netball club you played, grew up playing with my sister. So I've watched you since you were so young. Did you ever see this as a goal when you were that little, wearing back then our club colours were green and gold, wearing our green and gold St. Clair uniform that, you know, you would be at the Swifts, that you would hit 150, that you would be a diamond and everything that you've accomplished?
Absolutely not. Like, people always ask, like, oh, it was your big dream, like, to, you know, play for the Swifts and Diamonds. But I was just one of those kids that just, you know, mum was involved with the club. I just loved everything about netball. I was a very, very shy kid, like, just loved the netball aspect that, you know, it's the ultimate team sport. And yeah, I sit here and I'm like, I just pinch myself that, you know, there's 10 people that get contracts for the Swifts every year, and to be with them for 12 years now. I think never even imagined it, never dreamed about it, because I guess I just never saw that as a pathway for us to get to. And yeah, it wasn't probably till I was like 19 or 20 that I actually realized that I was actually good at it and I probably could make it. Otherwise, I just, yeah, loved playing and the girls I was playing with.
Now, you've played 150 games for the one club, which I think is absolutely incredible. Obviously, you spent some time sitting behind some other players when you were young. You've had some injuries. Did you ever think about moving elsewhere to get opportunities, or was it always, you know, the Swifts and you wanted to stick it out?
I guess there's definitely been moments where I've thought about moving. I think when I was younger, obviously coming in, I had the Swifts were just like unreal. Like, you know, I had Kimmy Green, I had Susan Pettit, I had Monia Gerard, I had Sonia McCloymer, I had April Letton at the time. Like, there was just so many superstars, and I was sitting behind like Vanessa Ware and Kimmy Green at the time. And it was just kind of lucky timing that my second year Vanessa Ware decided to retire, and then I got the opportunity to go on the court, and I just loved it. Like, I thought, this is so cool. I think my first contract was like $11,000, but I was a part-time job. I was going to training. Like, I was living at mum and dad's. Like, it was the best. And it probably wasn't until maybe like 2017 when the Super Netball kind of was introduced, and I'd heard that a lot of those girls were going to leave. You know, Shani and Katie Thwaites were going to Collingwood, and Kimmy and Susan were going to go across the road to Giants. And it was a really scary time because I thought, oh, like, do I stay? Like, no one's staying. And I thought, you know, obviously I'd been to a really successful club and we'd been to two grand finals the previous 2 years, and now everyone was kind of leaving, and I was like, oh, what do I do? Like, what's best for my netball? Like, but I had spoken with, you know, Abby and Maddie Turner at the time, and we decided that we wanted to stay and create something here with a new bunch of kids. And, you know, we obviously brought in the likes of, you know, Sarah Clough and Maddie Proud and Sam Wallace and Helen Housby in that year. And whilst it was tough to make that decision either to stay or leave, but looking back now, it was one of the best decisions to be able to create something new with a new bunch of girls. And now we've been together for, you know, 6 or so years.
When you reflect back on that page in the last 150, is there a game that jumps out as your favorite?
Oh, there's a few. I was thinking about this. I think for me, in the 2019 season, obviously we had lost Maddie Proud, Laura Moore and Kate Eddy to injuries. And I remember we went into the semi-final playing Lightning in Sunshine Coast, and we got smoked, I think, by like 10 plus goals. And it was so deflating. And then we had a home game against the Vixens. And that was probably one of my favorite games because we just came out and it was like, you know, those games where you just like, every time you touch a ball, it just went your way. Like, it was unreal. And then leading into that grand final in 2019, like, I think no one thought we were going to beat Sunshine Coast Lightning. No one thought we could do it in Brisbane. It'd been the third time I'd played a bloody grand final in Brisbane. And then to go out and beat, you know, Sunny Coast by a pretty significant amount and to be able to enjoy the actual grand final at the end, it was just, yeah, it was unreal. So definitely I think 2019 being able to kind of lead the club to their first grand final in 11 years, it was pretty special because I guess I never thought that I would even lead the club, let alone lead them to a premiership.
You guys celebrated Heritage Round on the weekend, so you got to go back to the OG yellow dress, which I absolutely love. You mentioned a couple of superstars that you did get to play with. Who did you idolise as a player growing up? And please don't feel pressure to say Courtney Tari because she's on this call.
I guess growing up, it was definitely like being in Sydney, like Liz Ellis was, you know, the one that you got to see the most. And, you know, I remember I would go to her like Liz Ellis netball clinics and mum would be like, go on, get a photo. And I'm like, no, it's so embarrassing. But like, she was kind of the one that, you know, did so much for the sport and so much for the sport in Sydney. So she was definitely something I idolized. But I think when I got to that age where I thought, oh, wow, this could be something, I think Kimmy Green was obviously, I think, one of the best midfielders in the world. And same as Nat Bomberto, I think for me, she was just, I guess, for me, she was similar in terms of the way she plays. She wasn't always, you know, the one getting all the assists or all the plays, but she just kind of did her job. And I think I really liked that about her. And, she wasn't like a heaps vocal leader. She just kind of, you know, led in her own way. And I really idolized that about her. So, yeah, she was someone kind of from the Diamonds that I looked up to and thought, you know, if she could do it, maybe I can as well.
Now, at the Swifts this year, you've got a new teammate. Well, two, actually, Romelda and Baby G. But what's it like having a different target at the back? But also, what's it like having a baby around? Because I think it just changes the whole vibe of training. And when you guys are traveling, it's such a nice thing, I think, to have in a team camp.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for Romelda sometimes. You know, you're always like, morning, Gianna. Oh, wait, hey, Romelda. Like, hey to you too. But where's Gigi? Like, give me Gigi. Like, so sometimes you're like, oh, you got to remember, like, you know, Romelda is here as well. And then Gianna. So, no, I think obviously last year when Sammy went down, it was just heartbreaking for us. I think she is just an anchor for us in that attack end. And we obviously had to learn how to play with, you know, Soph and Helen and Kelly at the time with that moving circle. So, I love that this year we have the ability to play both, be able to have a target like Romelda, and I guess someone that obviously probably towards the end of her career didn't really get the finish off at Firebirds that she wanted, and has that passion and that drive to be able to have someone like Bryony believe in her and come to the Swifts. And I feel like you've seen each game she's just grown with us as a club. And, you know, for someone that's, you know, Gianna's only 9 months old, who has moved her life to Sydney, has no family here, is just doing incredible. So, yeah, I'm really grateful that we've got someone like Romelda. I think, you know, we obviously laughed and joked that she stole those two premierships off me in 2015 and 2016, and that we really want to win one together, which is really special. But, yeah, obviously love having Gianna around. I think it just, you know, sometimes it just brings you back to reality of, you know, what's life about. And off the court, you know, she's got 9 other girls that want to look after her. So I feel like she loves away trips. She's like, who wants to hold her? And away she goes. So yeah, no, it's really special to have her in Melbourne. I think given the circumstances and what she came in under, I think she's just thriving each week and she's just growing with us as a player and a person.
It's so funny because I got to train with you guys for preseason before I headed to Magic. And I actually think Swifts is the perfect environment for her. Like, you guys are so fun, down to earth, bright, is so just gives the team confidence. Like, I feel like her potentially being burnt from Firebirds and maybe being low on confidence, her coming into your program, it's just like, it just gives me goosebumps. It's match made in heaven. Back to you. I reckon you're a bit of a triple threat because you can play center, wing attack and wing defense. But if you had to choose one that you prefer to play the most, which one would it be?
I probably can't go past center. I feel like I just like the ability to control kind of the tempo of a game, be able to object more in defense and then also in attack. But, you know, I just like playing. So whatever the coach puts me, I'm happy to be on them playing whatever role I need to be.
Good answer. Now, if you could poach any player from any other team, could be in the world, Paige, who would you poach?
God, this is hard because I was like, you know, like I do love my teammates. So I don't want to pick a position that, you know, someone goes, oh, they pick my position.
Or someone you would like to play with even.
Obviously a really great mate of mine, but at the Diamonds, I just watch her. I'm just in awe of like how she can just control that whole attack. And I watch Lightning and I'm like, just her tempo, like she just controls the whole game and then her ability to be able to also shoot under pressure. But yeah, I think I'd still Steph Wood. I love playing alongside her at the Diamonds and I'd like to be able to play, you know, a few more with her at the Suncorp Super Netball level as well.
You've come up against a few tricky defenders, not just all mid-quarters, not just here in Australia, but obviously in international realm as well. Who do you rate as your hardest opponent? And don't worry, we won't tell them.
Last time I heard you said you're going to tag them or something. And I was like,
that's only the best player. That's who you think is the best player in the world. We'll get to that. But who's your hardest? We won't tag this person.
I feel like if I was going past whoever I played over my career, I honestly can't go past Laura Langman. Like either it was at center or wing defense when I had to play wing attack, like you just knew like she was just like fit. Like I just, no matter if it was the first game or the game was. Yeah. I'm just like, holy crap. Like she's just, yeah, she was just ruthless. And I think being able to play with her for 1 year, seeing just how ruthless she was and how fit she was and how attention to detail she did everything. Like, yeah, it was so inspiring. So yeah, I think she was always the toughest opponent and just was so experienced. I guess whatever team she was in was successful.
I think she's, so you let out a little
cheer when she retired. We're like, yay.
I was loving when she came to the Swiss because at least I get her at training but not on game day. Then she left and went to Lightning. I was like, no.
I think she's doing like ultra marathons for fun now because she's like that fit. Okay, here is the one we were talking about, Paige, where we may tag them. But who do you think is the best netballer in the world at the moment?
Oh, I find this question so hard because honestly, like there's so many amazing players. But there's probably two that come to mind. I think Shamira Sterling, I think like her ability to just change a game, her ability to read the game. I feel like 1 minute she's there and the next minute she's got 10 intercepts or 10 deflections and her ability to even deflect over a shot. Like that is so hard for a defender to do, but I feel like she just does it so casually. So I think, yeah, Shamira is definitely one of the best goalkeepers in the world. But I already said a name, but I think I also think Steph Wood is one of the best players in the world. I think her ability to, I guess, control an attack and be able to be a barometer for a team. I think she can, you know, she wins big matches. And I love how she plays with passion with everything she does. So, yeah, I think Steph Wood is, yeah, definitely one of the best players in the world.
Good answers.
Love it. Yeah. Look, World Cup is on the horizon and congratulations, you're in the Diamond squad, which is no surprise, but I think a few of the squads have started coming up now. Who do you think is going to be Australia's biggest threat?
Oh, like, isn't it crazy? Like to think, you know, like this World Cup is probably going to be the tightest World Cup ever. I think Jamaica are obviously going to be a threat. I think, you know, obviously going to Comm Games last year, it was their first medal contention in a gold medal match. They've had that experience. They're going to be full of confidence. Their players in Suncorp Super Netball are absolutely thriving. But in saying that, we've obviously got footage of them. We've, like, a lot of the shooters and defenders have played against their players. So I do think New Zealand will be a tough one for us, obviously not having played them since that quad series. And it's always obviously hard to adjust to a team like New Zealand because they play so different to what we see each week. So I think, yeah, they're going to be a tough opponent. Just, you know, obviously you're not going to get to play them multiple times before you play them again. So it's being able to adjust to that kind of zone-like defense straight away before, you know, you're not going to get two chances at the cherry, unfortunately.
I will say, even when you grew up playing in Australia and trying to come to New Zealand, you'd probably know Tusi best. Trying to learn how to play that style is so difficult, let alone having to play against it. Now, Paige, you've always studied and worked off the court. So how has that helped you to be a better person and player?
Yeah, I think I'm being very lucky to be able to go to university, get my degree, but also work part-time. I now work for an orthopedic surgeon part-time. So I think for me, it's just been able to be balanced. I think, well, one, to be honest, living in Sydney on a net all's wage probably doesn't help you that much. So I have to have
some. And the cost of living is going
up. Rising. So, yeah, obviously, but I think it's about being balanced. I've met some amazing people away from netball. And I think for me, it's not just being about Paige Haller, the netballer, and what I do on the court or in the netball sphere. I think it's about having, you know, all those avenues away from the court. And, you know, I've made amazing friends at university that just know me as Paige Hadley and have work opportunities, and I've met people along the way. So, yeah, for me it's about being balanced, not just being so focused. Obviously netball is, you know, your life and you want to succeed and you want to achieve premierships and World Cups, but it's also about, you know, that balance. And unfortunately this career is only a short time in your life, so it's about making the most of it and hopefully setting myself up for what's to come in the future.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Moving on, we're going to go to this and that. Give us your answer and maybe a little bit of context around it. Are you a TikTok or Instagram gal?
Super easy, like Instagram, because I feel like I missed the boat of like TikTok. So like the girls are like, oh, did you see that funny TikTok? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, you have to send it to me if you want me to see something funny, because I'm not just like, but I'm also grateful that I feel like I've gained hours of my life, because some of them say they scroll in there for like hours of like dancing and thing. I'm like, well, I've got hours of my life back, so I'm very grateful for that.
Who's the TikToker?
Who's the TikToker in your team?
Well, it's actually interesting. I feel like Maddie Proud and Taylor Fraser have been like food TikTokers. Like they're like, oh, did you try this, like, you know, curry or this? And I'm like, what? Where'd you learn that? Oh, TikTok. I'm like, what? Are you learning TikTok? So yeah, I feel like they're the avid TikTokers learning things, which is a good thing. But yeah, they probably spend the most time on TikTok.
Maybe I should start learning how to cook. Now, are you a tea or a coffee girl?
None. I actually don't drink coffee and I don't drink tea. I know, Bass. I know.
So if what I are you? Just water.
Yeah, just water, juice. You know, juice. I feel like it's more expensive though. You go out for a coffee and you're buying $11 juice every time. So, but yes, no, not either. I think that's, I always say I don't drink coffee. That's how I've afforded to try and live in Sydney, because I save my dollar.
That is wild. I did not know that about you. Absolutely. Yeah,
I do take like caffeine strips before a game to get caffeine. But yeah, not a coffee drinker.
I was about to say, how are you even alive without that caffeine? Do you prefer to text or call?
Definitely text. If I'm calling you, you know you got to answer. Otherwise, I just text you.
Now, would you rather play at home or away? And we kind of meet it in the context that you get a trip away at the hotel with the girls.
Yes, I've heard Bass loves this one. Bass is always like, how do you not like away games? Blah, blah, blah. But I honestly, like, I do love going away with the girls. Absolutely love away games. But there's nothing better than playing at home in front of your own crowd. I love being able to do captain's run that morning, coming home, having the afternoon off to relax, watching a bit of netty probably the night before, and then being able to go, like, at the Swiss fans have been unreal at Kenrosville Arena. And, like, yesterday it was just, yeah, special to be able to be there, heritage round. So, yeah, I just love away games. I think the crowd cheering for you rather than against you. Like, I don't know how many times I've been booed this year in other states. So I'm enjoying that everyone's going for us, not against us.
Yeah, you've had some pretty tight finishes as well. So I totally understand why you would want the crowd support. Book or movie? I couldn't guess this one with you. I was a little bit torn.
Yeah, I feel like I go through phases. I feel like if I had to pick something right now, I'd probably be a movie. But I do like a good book, but I'm more into books that are like kind of like biographies and about people's stories and journeys and life. So if it's kind of going to be a fiction book, I'll definitely go a movie rather than the book.
Okay, now this one, you've kind of had a little bit of experience in, so sorry if it's a sore point. Probably not to this extent, though, but would you rather lose a grand final by one or by 20?
Look, I think it would definitely have to be by one. I feel like I wouldn't watch the game anyway if it's one or 20. I would never watch the game back. I don't want to know how we lost. But I think the one obviously knows that. Like, I feel like even those grand finals where we lost by one, everyone's like, it's the best game of netball we've ever seen. Like, great for the sport. But, yeah, it's obviously a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, I agree. It's always the people who aren't playing in that game are like, oh, my God, that was amazing. You're like, yeah, you weren't standing out, clearly. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. And congrats on the 150. I reckon you've got a sneaky 150 left in you as well.
I agree.
Come on.
Yeah.
Easy.
I've seen you. Yeah, yeah. And you've got so many positions under your belt. You can just be like, nah, I've had enough of wing attack now. I'm just going to be a full-time center and then wing defense and things like that. So congratulations and good luck for the rest of your season. Swifts are on quite the roll at the moment, and we're looking forward to finals time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you both.
How great is Paige? We've both played with her, and the thing that strikes me is she is the most humble and honest. And if you went to her and said, hey, can you pass me some extra balls, she'd be like, absolutely. Or can you help me and sit and watch some video together, she'd be like, absolutely. She is the best team person.
She is. And I found it interesting that she said she never dreamed of this, because like I said in the interview, I've known her since she was 5 years old and watched her play all through development with my sister. But you could just tell, like, she loved netball, like she said, but she had, I think, just that extra bit of determination or whatever it was. And I think when she went to high school, she went to, I think it was Hill Sports High, so one of the sport high schools. And I think that's where stuff started to really, really change for her. But I think from me looking at her, I always knew that she could do it. So it's crazy that she was just like, I just wanted to play netball and I loved it and everything. And like, look at what she's achieved. It's absolutely incredible.
I agree. That's where her humbleness comes in, because she hasn't had your traditional netball journey where it's make every team. And you know, like, there's been times where she's missed out and, you know, being dropped. There's been times that she's been injured, but that hard work and that determination that helped her when she was young. And to be honest, growing up here in New South Wales, where the talent pool is huge and the mid-court talent pool is enormous, like, that makes it so much harder. So yeah, definitely great to see her succeeding. And I do think that she probably has a good 50 to 100 games left in her, because her body is like solid at the moment.
I agree. And I'm pretty sure she's only 30. She'd be the same age as my sister. So, I mean, she can keep going. She could be the longest serving midcourt ever. She's already got 12 years under her belt.
Love it. All right. Well, let's look ahead to round 11. You guys are reaching the finals, but we've still got a couple of rounds to go over here in Australia. Lightning taking on the Magpies at USC. It's going to be an interesting match. Lightning have really kind of fallen in a hole the last couple of weeks. A couple of narrow losses and then a big, well, not a big loss, but a 6-goal loss to the Giants, who, you know, were the struggling team last week. Against the Magpies, who absolutely got handed 29 goals to them last week by the Swifts. So that's going to be an interesting match. I'm going to tip the Lightning for this one. I think they have a lot of quality in their team. They just haven't been hitting their straps. And I think when they click it, it can be beautiful. Thunderbirds and the Fever. Oh, that's going to be a great match. I think last time these two teams met, it was one goal finish. So Thunderbirds are filthy. They're coming off a big loss, you know, in Melbourne. Fever are going to be, you know, feeling a little bit confident. They had the biggest score. So that's going to be a great game. It's happening in Adelaide. So traditionally Thunderbirds play very, very well at their home court. So that'll be a cracker. Then we have the Vixens and the Swifts. Look, that's 2-4 on the ladder at the moment. I'm really looking forward to this game. I reckon it's happening in Melbourne. Once again, Vixens, they haven't lost at John Cain Arena, so it's going to be a really tough environment to Swifts to come into. Both have had really strong wins the last couple of weeks, so I reckon that's going to be a really great showdown. And then rounding it off, we've got the Giants and the Firebirds. Giants have actually moved up the ladder a little bit. They're sitting in fifth place at the moment. Firebirds, unfortunately, sitting the very bottom at the moment. So they're definitely struggling. They need a win. But, yeah, looking forward to see what the Giants shooting circle in Matisse Leatherbauer and Sophie Dwyer can do. Can Amy Parmenter have another good performance after last week? And what can the Firebirds do?
Oh, exciting. Well, like you said, we are down to the business end of the season over here in New Zealand. It's the elimination final. So the Mystics, they've gone straight through to the grand final. That's how they do it over here in New Zealand. So this weekend. It is the Pulse and the Stars in Wellington. So the Pulse, they'll be in Porirua Stadium. It's a sellout already. And it is a repeat of the grand final last year, 58-44, with the Pulse absolutely wiped the Stars off the court. The Stars just didn't have any answers. So I feel like this is a good opportunity for revenge for the Stars. I really think the Pulse middies need to step up, because for the Pulse on the weekend, they really did get shut down. The tactics outplayed them. Then I think the week before that, the Mystics figured out that the Pulse play a really hard one-on-one defensive style, which teams over here aren't used to. They're used to the defender sitting off, filling the space. So I think the Pulse need to come up with a strategy if the Stars really do muscle up against them. Think about this though, Seabass. Whitney Souness at wing attack, Gina Crampton at wing attack. Like, you've just got two silver ferns who really do need to step up for their team and will be just flinging balls into the circle, very accurate balls, I might say. Then you've got Mila Riley Buchanan and Maddie Gordon, former teammates, grew up playing together, both came through the Pulse development system. They'll be playing in the midcourt against each other, and they'll just try to outrun and outbash each other. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then Kelly Drury up against Maya Wilson. Both up for Silver Ferns World Cup contention. Kelly Drury's had an outstanding season. So has Maya Wilson. So I think both of them will be wanting to win for their team, but I also feel like they might feel like they've got a lot to prove, especially to Dame Nolene Todua. But then keep in mind Amorangi Malesala, like I said at the top of the podcast, she's putting up close to 30 goals a game at goal attack. So she's taking that pressure off Maya. And Amorangi, she can sink the long bombs. She can take the pressure off, and she loves big moments. She'll just shoot, swish, turn and walk back to the center pass, you know, cool as a cucumber. Down the other end, you've got young Amelia Wormsley. I think she's only 19, 20 years old, who's doing a bulk of the shooting for the Pulse. Whereas on the other hand, Tiana Maturdo, supporting her at goal attack, is a playmaker. But if she's only putting up 5 from 5, the defenders know that she's not going to go to post. So I would love to see her get more involved just to keep the defenders guessing. But yeah, I just think it's really going to be a hard one-on-one contest, and I'm looking forward to, I don't know who I'm going to pick for this one. I don't know if I can do it, honestly.
Just flip a coin. Leave it to
exactly, exactly. Flip a coin, because I honestly, because the Pulse were coming into the round just gone 8 wins in a row. And so they just lost. So you know, they were sitting really good. They're in really good form. Whereas the Stars, they just have, they're that team. They grind. They don't give up possession. So it'll be a very, very interesting contest this weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear who wins.
Me too. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Big thank you to our guest, Paige Hadley. Keep writing to us on all our social media. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday.